Guys, if you would, turn to Numbers chapter 29, and we're going to be going through the whole chapter. So Numbers chapter 29, offerings in the Feast of Trumpets. In the seventh month and on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, for it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in the first year without a blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah, bull, 2/10 of a ram, 1/10 of each seven lambs, also one kid of goats as a sin offering, and make an atonement for you, besides the burnt offering, which is the grain offering in the new moon. The regular burnt offering, that's what those burnt offerings do. All that smoke makes you want to sneeze. Your eyes are watering. It's the, you know, they say the smoke follows the beautiful. For the new moon, the new moon offerings, the drink offerings, according to their ordinance, as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Before we begin this evening, I just want to just share just one thing just to kind of get us pumped started and geared up tonight. And it's from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. And understand that Paul is sharing this with someone that means a whole heck of a lot to him. He's finished something. I mean, he's finished his race. And he's just trying to pass this on to Timothy. And just listen to his heart for a moment. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who've loved his appearing. With the words, finish the race, on our hearts tonight. Let's remember the theme the Lord has been laying on our hearts as we've been through this section of Scripture, which is simply this. A devoted life will end up being a faithful life simply because a devoted life just enjoys the Lord, seeks the Lord, trusts the Lord, and goes forward with the Lord. And you remember as we was going through this new section that we started in Numbers chapter 27, it was a neat chapter because you remember the five daughters. They had the boldness to go down and trust the Lord with the answer about their father's land, their inheritance. Not only that, you remember Moses. Moses is not going to lead the people in, but you know what? We know the end of Moses' story. He finishes strong. But not only that, what about Joshua? Joshua is going to start a new leg in his journey with the Lord, and we know the end of that story. He's going to finish strong as well. And should that not be the themes of our heart? You know, I'm not that old, but man, I'm definitely getting older. That's for sure. The thought of, I can remember being 20 and thinking 50 is so far away. And I'm going to be 43 before long, and 50's not that far away. And I think all of us in this room have a desire to finish well and to finish strong. So should that not be on our hearts tonight as we're just going through this 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8? For already I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who loves his appearing. We begin everything in our Lord Jesus. And just to soften our hearts just a little bit more, this old hymn, it's called Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love and heal and forgive. He lived to die, and by my pardon, empty grace is there to prove my Savior lives. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still the calm assurance the child can face in certain days because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and a life is worth living just because He lives. At the end of the day, just keep it about Jesus, and you know what? It'll end up being about Jesus. Now, as we're going through this particular portion of Scripture, we're looking at the Lord's calendar. And the thing is, we're not going to We're not going to go through this thing and look at all the offerings and what all the offerings. We've already done that. We spent a great amount of time in that. But what we are going to do is we're going to look at it through the eyes of this is the Lord's calendar for all time. And as we look at this, we're going to see pictures of Jesus. And this is nothing new. We've already heard all this stuff before. You know, we may have forgotten it, but maybe we need to be refreshed in that tonight. You know, anybody get kind of wigged out this week over anything? Oh, yeah, of course you did. I mean, we all do. Okay? I mean, we forget that the Lord has taken such great care that our times and our seasons are in His hand. Okay, and I pray this is what we take from this. Like I said, we're not going to do this in-depth thing looking at the offerings. We're not going to do this. Remember, the old generation is just about gone. They were counted, but they could not be counted on. The new generation's moving forward by faith, headed into the promised land. Chapters 28 to 29 is a repeat of what we've already studied. But remember this, these guys, the Lord is instructing them in what truly is important. And I shouldn't say what, I should say who truly is important. And that's our Lord. And isn't that the thing we need to be passing on to the next generation? Who's important? The Lord has given these guys a calendar that they can go by. Praise God that He gives us a calendar we can go by. Who has a calendar on their wall? Who has things marked on there? Is there a lot of things? Do you have something on every day just about kind of marked in? That's kind of scary, isn't it? You don't, neither do I. I don't like that. Margaret, you know, she's got that thing. Man, let's grab a hold of the fact that, man, let's get on the Lord's calendar. For the people of Israel, it was practical in two ways. For social reasons, all the tribes would be brought together for worship and fellowship. And the calendar also provided a commercial purpose to exchange ideas and goods. But also remember, the Lord's calendar points to Jesus, the past, the present, and the future. God's calendar for the Jewish people is God's calendar for all time. Just because God has time covered does not mean this. And I want us to get this too, is let's don't waste time just because He has times covered. If you remember in our previous study, the people of Israel set aside special times to seek the Lord. Once a week, at the end of the week, and once a month, a special time of seeking the Lord. And the one thing we kind of took from that whole study is to have a psalmist type of heart. Psalm 55, verse 17, evening, morning, and noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Praise God that we have access nonstop. We don't have to wait till Sunday morning to come and seek the Lord, or Wednesday night, or even the time that we have our devotions in the morning. We can seek the Lord every second of every day. What an awesome blessing. He's not too busy. Is that not incredible to think about that? Why, that blows me away when I really kind of just fasten my heart down and think about that. You mean this God that's working this out and working this out and working this out has time to hear my voice? You know, sometimes I get real busy and I hear my son's voice. You can't help but hear his voice. You know, it's like a broke record until he gets my attention. Okay, and then I, you know, what is it? You know, the Lord's not like that. The Lord is very, very keyed in, and He knows exactly what's going on. He's a way better dad than I am, and I thank God for His grace as He's working in my heart. So let's look at God's calendar again tonight. We looked at the Passover and unleavened bread last time, and remember, they were celebrated together. The Passover celebrated Israel's exit from Egypt. They were their deliverance from Egypt. It was celebrated on the 14th day of Nisan, the first month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was celebrated on the next day of the same month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was the beginning of the barley harvest. The Unleavened Bread Feast points, of course, to separation, right? For the Christian, these feasts pointed to Christ in a very unique way. Jesus is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7, therefore purge the old leaven, that you may have a new lump, since you are truly unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Feast of Unleavened Bread points to the Christian life of fellowship seen in separation from sin and feeding upon our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8. Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly our unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice of wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Lord was calling His people, if you remember, in celebrating these two feasts, to remember. Remember what happened in Egypt. Remember how I delivered you. Remember that situation to remember. And you know what? Isn't that the same thing He does for us? He calls us to remember. I think we ought to take at least once a week and remember what it was like before we were saved, if we don't even do it once a day. And the great grace and the great amount of care and love and how the Lord opened our eyes and stopped our ears and we got saved. We ought to be just blown away by that, to remember. To remember what a blessing it is to be separated unto Christ. What a blessing it is to be able to feed upon our Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The Lord was calling the people of Israel during these two feasts to a place of remembering. Question, when was the last time we set aside time to remember what the Lord has done for us? Not in a corporate setting, but in a lone setting with no one else around, thanking the Lord for His Son, Jesus the Lamb, that was slain. Someone once said, the person who has stopped being thankful has fallen asleep in life. When was the last time we just got along with the Lord and said, man, thank you? The Lord has really been just kind of working on my heart towards different things, and one of them is thankfulness. So many times we get caught up in doing this and doing that. We get busy and we get this and that. And we miss all the incredible blessings that we receive from the Lord. We need to slow down. We need to be thankful and grateful. The Feast of First Fruits and the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of First Fruit was about bringing the first fruits of the harvest to the Lord. But this feast could not be celebrated until they were in the Promised Land. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost in the New Testament, took place 55 days later, after the week of celebrating Passover and unleavened bread. Remember, those two things were celebrated together. And the first fruits. On the Feast of Weeks, they would bring the first sheaf of the wheat harvest to the Lord. And you guys remember the whole number situation and how Jesus... You can go look at that again. I'm not going through all that again, because last time you just got a glazed look on your eyes. We've heard this, okay? Just move on, Johnny. For the Christian, these feasts paints another beautiful picture of Jesus our Lord. The Feast of First Fruit points to the resurrection of Christ. Christ is the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23... Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. The Feast of Weeks, or the Pentecost, points to the birth of the church. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, okay, when they were celebrating and it fully come, after the Lord said, wait, tarry, don't go anywhere, and all these folks got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was the birth of the church. And that's what we live in right now, is the church age. First, the Lord called the people to Israel to remember. And here's something that we can take home as well. Now He's calling them to rejoice for His provision. Is that not what the Lord calls us to do, is to rejoice? Because, man, you can't really rejoice unless you remember the great thing that the Lord has done for us. We can't really rejoice at this point in time unless we remember that, you know what? The Lord saved me. I'm washed in the blood. What an incredible blessing. One more, the same question, really. When was the last time we got alone with the Lord and rejoiced for the provision we have in Christ? Christ, our resurrected Lord, or rejoice in the fact that we are His bride. That we rejoiced in that. What an incredible provision. What an incredible blessing to be the bride. You ladies remember when you were getting married, right? And you thought, wow, what a privilege to be Miss Fadala. Trisha was like, wow. what a privilege to be Miss Courtright. And Pat, many moons ago, Margaret was, wow, what a blessing to be Miss Knox. You remember what it was like to be that bride. Now, see, we can't really relate to that. We're dudes. All right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I know I said dude. Yeah. You know, here's the thing. We know what it's like to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. We know what it's like to be cleansed. We know what it's like to be precious in Christ's sight. Listen to Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without a blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. What an incredible blessing to be part, to be the bride of Christ. Man, never lose that. Never lose that. You know, in a world gone really south, we have so much to be thankful for. You don't think the Lord's going to take care of His precious bride? He's going to take care of His precious bride. We've looked through God's calendar for all time. We've looked at the past, Jesus, our Passover. Jesus, the first fruit, our resurrected Lord. We looked at the present, the birth of the church, the day of Pentecost. We looked at the present right now. We're the bride of Christ, okay? Let's look at the future with Christ. The Lord's given us an incredible past. The Lord has given us an incredible present. But I also want us to gear our hearts towards the Lord has given us an incredible future. And you know, we don't think about those things enough. Who feels like they're really rooted in here on this planet? You know? Think about it. Just rooted in. We forget we're sojourners. We're just kind of passing through this thing, that this is a very temporal situation. Our Lord could come back tomorrow. All right? Or we could go meet our Lord tomorrow. It's temporal. We got a future with Christ. The Feast of Trumpets, and I've already read that, I'm not going to read it again. The first three feasts take place in the spring and the summer of the year. The last three feasts take place in the fall of the year. Guys, we really are in the fall of the year on God's calendar. All right. The seventh month is important. If you notice, the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. It's a sort of a sabbatical. It's sort of like the sabbatical month, or like there's a sabbatical day. It's very important. It's a sabbatical year. This marked the beginning of the civil year. Also, the blowing of the civil trumpets was used in moving the people of Israel through the wilderness. And we're just going to stop there and we'll come back to that later. All right? We'll come back to that later. Let's look at verse 7 through 11. And on the 10th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict yourselves. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma. One young bull, one ram, seven lambs in the first year. Be sure that they are without a blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil. Three tenths for the bull, two tenths, one ram, one tenth for each seven lambs. Also one kid of a goat as a sin offering. Besides the sin offering for the atonement, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings. Like I said, we're not going to look at all the different offerings. We know who the offerings point to. Remember this, the Day of Atonement was a solemn day. The rabbis called it Yama, which simply meant the day. The Hebrew word for atonement is kapar, which means to cover. Atonement was only a covering for sin, not a cleansing. this was the most holy day on their calendar, and this was a day of mourning over sin. All the rest of these were days of celebration. They were excited. They were stoked. But the Lord had this one day set aside. Was it, hey, I want you to mourn over your sin a little bit. I want you. And you remember when we was going through the book of Leviticus? It was a rather bloody book. Okay? It was a rather bloody situation. You know, they talk about the, you know, sacrifice this and sacrifice this and sacrifice this. And, you know, the letting of the blood and all these things. It was kind of gory. But understand this as well. The Day of Atonement for these guys, it was just a covering. It was not a cleansing. It's very important to remember that. Like I said, we're not going into great detail. The Feast of Tabernacles, let's look at this. And on the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year. They shall be without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 of each 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also 1 kid of a goat as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering. It's a grain offering and it's a drink offering. On the 2nd day, you present 12 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without a blemish, and the grain offering and their drink offering and the bull for the rams and the lambs by their number according to the ordinance. Also, 1 kid of a goat is a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offering. On the 3rd day, present 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year without a blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offering for the bulls, for the rams and for the lambs by their number according to the ordinance. Also 1 goat is a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering. It's a grain offering. It's a drink offering. And on the 14th day, present 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without a blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, and by the number according to the ordinance. Also 1 kid of goats as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and drink offering. On the 5th day, present 9 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs, and their first year without a blemish, and their grain offering, their drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by the number according to the ordinance. Also 1 goat, 1 sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and drink offering. On the 16th day, present 8 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year without a blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by the number according to the ordinance. Also 1 goat as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, its drink offering. On the 7th day, present 7 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without a blemish, the grain offering, the drink offering, by their number according to the ordinance, is 1 goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, its drink offering. And on the 8th day, you shall have a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. 1 bull, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year without a blemish. The grain offering and their drink offering for the bull, for the ram, for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also 1 goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering. It's a grain offering and a drink offering. These you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feast, besides your vowed offerings and your free will offerings, as your burnt offering and your grain offerings, as your drink offerings and your peace offerings. The Feast of Tabernacle took place 5 days after the somber Day of Atonement. And for 7 days, these folks would just basically camp out and celebrate and remember God's faithfulness to them when they were in the wilderness, in their wilderness wandering. Remember, the feast takes place 5 days after the somber Day of Atonement, a time of repenting, okay? And we truly have nothing to celebrate until we've come to a place of repentance, do we not? I love Psalm 51, verse 8 through 12. Make me hear the joy of gladness, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your generous spirit. We have a lot We have a lot to rejoice about. Now, I know that, hey, we didn't go through all these offerings, and man, I've already done that once. Okay? We spent a long time going through that stuff. But this is what I want us to grab. This is what I believe the Lord has called us to grab a hold of tonight. He wants us to put His calendar for all time together to once again give us this beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He wants us to focus on. All right? Now, remember the Sabbath? It pointed to the rest that we had in Christ. Christ is our rest. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that Jesus just says, come to me. That's all He asks. He has no other greater expectations, just for us to come to Him. The Passover is Christ crucified. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think it's absolutely blows my heart away that the Lord put this calendar together. When we look at it from this side and we see Christ in here and we see the Lord's plan for Christ for all time. The unleavened bread, the fellowship we have in Christ because of His death. Our fellowship is unleavened, okay? Fellowship with Christ is truly a harvest. You don't have a harvest without a Passover. Think about your life before Christ. Was there really that much of a harvest? Or was it an empty barn? For me, it was an empty barn. The Feast of First Fruits points to the resurrection of Christ. He's the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits to all those who have fallen asleep. Jesus, the first fruit, finished the work. And because He rose, guess what? We will rise to be resurrected. Think about that for a moment. The Feast of Pentecost, the birth of the church. It had fully come. Acts 2:1-5. The Feast of Trumpets. Are you starting to see the progression of what's going on here? When you think of trumpet, what do you think about? After the church, what's going to cause the church age to end? The trumpet. The rapture. The rapture of the church. A future event that's coming, well, it looks like very soon. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then all those who are alive will remain and shall be caught up in the air with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. What an incredible encouragement. That the Lord could come back at any moment, at any time, and things then change radically. Think about that for a moment on God's calendar. The Day of Atonement is Jesus is our atonement alone. He provides cleansing, not just a covering. He provides cleansing through His cross, His blood that was shed. But the people of Israel still living under the covering mentality. After the church is raptured out of here, the time of Jacob's trouble is just 3 years away. The Antichrist will break his treaty with the Jewish people. And you know that. They're wanting to build the temple. What happens in the temple? Bible scholars, come on, please. What is Satan going to do? He's going to take a big fat pig, and their eyes are going to be open to what happens. And during this time also, 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be raised up. You can see Revelation 7:1-4. Not only that, the two witnesses will come on the scene in Revelation 11. And during this time, the people of Israel's eyes will begin to be open to who Jesus is, their Messiah. Man, we got to pray for Israel. The Lord has not forgotten Israel. He's not forgotten them. On His calendar, they're still very important. And finally, the Feast of Tabernacles is going to point to the Millennium Kingdom, Christ's thousand-year reign on earth, and points to eternity and His everlasting kingdom. That excites me. Every one of us in this room is going to be assigned some type of task in the Millennium Kingdom. Now, is that not exciting? I mean, when you really just kind of think about this thing and you start looking at God's calendar, you start looking at this calendar, I mean, think about this. Is there anything else that compares to that? Imagine what it's going to be. This is all we have ever known. Right now, you know, really all that Jonathan has ever probably truly known is taking place in his yard and in his house and maybe right here or in Longview, Texas, or maybe at his grandparents' house. He has no idea that there's a place called South America. He has no idea that there's a place called Africa. Heck, he doesn't even have an idea that there's a place called Arkansas. He's not missing much. That's a beautiful country. He has no idea. Right now, he thinks maybe the greatest thing ever is his oat milk, which is oatmeal, his chocolate milk, which is, well, chocolate milk, his yogurt. That's it. That's all he knows. Do you realize that's pretty much all we got covered when you think about it? This is all we have ever known. And God has this incredible plan for us. This incredible plan for us. All the bases are covered. This is what I want us to get. I pray this is what we take home tonight. All the bases are covered in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why are we in such a hurry? Let's slow down and enjoy the Lord. It's all covered. We'll get way more accomplished for Christ if we hang out with Christ. It's simple. I love how the book of Revelation ends in 22:20-21. He who testifies these things says, "Surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Last thought for tonight. We've been looking at a devoted life will end up being a faithful life simply because a devoted life is seeking the Lord, enjoying the Lord. By looking at the Lord's calendar for all time, we've seen we have been given a glorious past from Christ, a glorious presence with Christ, and we're given a glorious future with Christ. Should those things alone, just those things, if we'll grab our hearts a hold of that thing, should those things alone should not produce this in our life? Verse 40 of the same chapter. So Moses told the children of Israel everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. No stone was left unturned. I got to be honest with you. The offerings of the Feast of Tabernacles and rereading that without really diving into that's kind of boring. And I could tell you guys were bored too. He's not really going to read all that, is he? He communicated it down to the T. The end result is obedience. He didn't slough it off. Well, you know, that's not that important right there. I mean, he's got all this other stuff. And, you know, that Lord didn't really think that was that important. See, a devoted life will end up being a faithful life, simply seeking the Lord, enjoying the Lord, and trusting the Lord. And the end result is, man, it's going to just be an obedient life. And obedience, you know, submission to the Lord, it's a loving submission. It's a loving submission. Because He's been so good and He's been so incredible. It's like, Lord, why wouldn't I want to do this? Lord, why wouldn't I want to read through this whole chapter? Lord, why wouldn't I want to present this whole chapter? Even though it's really, Lord, I'm thinking it's maybe a little bit boring. Well, it's not boring because it's in my book. It's not boring because I put it together. It's not boring because I told you to do it. So you communicate it, Moses. I want to ask you a question. Think about this just for a moment. We know how Moses' story ends. All right? We know how his story ends. He does not get to lead these folks into the promised land. He gets to see the promised land, and then of course we know he ends up probably in the promised land, Mount Transfiguration, all that stuff, okay? But think about this. If you're Moses and you've been slugging it out for 40 years, wandering around, watching these and all this stuff that's entailed and being the leader of this group of folks, and then come to find out the thing that the Lord said that He was going to do in the very beginning. You're not going to get to personally see it. I want to ask you a question. Would you slough off right here at the end and say, you know what, it's not that important. If I could re-communicate this to this group of people, someone might catch it along the way. Joshua's still here. Caleb's still here. He remembered when I told it to them 40 years ago or whatever. Would you just kind of slough it off and just say, well, you know what, I'm almost done. It's not that important. Or would we have the kind of heart like Moses that communicated it to the letter, to the T? What possesses a man to do that? Not a have to, a want to. It's like, you know what, it's not that important that I'm not going to go into the promised land. The Lord said, stop talking about it anyway. 40 years of spending time with the Lord and enjoying the Lord and seeing the Lord move and seeing the Lord work. I think one of the greatest things about Moses, when he came up to a situation, what was the first thing he did? He fell on his face and he prayed. Should we not do any less? Since we're on this side of it, and when we look at this, all these things that we just looked at, we see Christ on every stinking level. Past, present, future. I mean, we're really on the tail end of the race if you think about it. What an incredible place to be. The tail end of this thing. 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 Tail end of this thing.